You know, there are moments that God wants us to dig deeper into Him. That even though, you know, I think it's Habakkuk chapter 3. Maybe we can look at it as we start. And it's a witness of this prophet. And let's just go to it. Nahum, Habakkuk, Stephaniah, Haggai. Yes, Habakkuk. There used to be a song to know where the Bible verses, the books are. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. What was it, Judges? I forgot. Okay, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. And it says that though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. For the director of music on my stringed instrument. And you see, Habakkuk was actually a man who was really crying out for Israel. And you know, he goes like, I mean, the nation is distressed, the nation is ravaged by the enemy, you know, and they're in exile and all these things. And he keeps asking God, you know, how long, you know, shall this continue? You know, how long should all this trouble be? Then in chapter 2, he goes like, okay, what I will do is I will stand at my watch, you know, and station myself and look and see what he will say to me. And, you know, God tells him, write down the revelation, you know, make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and not delay. And, you know, at times we could be asking God, you know, I mean, when is this answer coming through? When is this promise coming to be fulfilled? Can you imagine Abraham from 75 to 99 to 100? He must have been just like, "Aye, when will this son come to be?" You know. But God told Habakkuk, just write it down. Write down the revelation. And it's very important that we need to be writing down things that God speaks to us. Have a notebook somewhere. You can have it on your phone, especially if you can upload it. You can have it on Google Drive or Share Drive or OneDrive or iDrive, iCloud. Just have it somewhere that is a reminder of the speakings of God. Because our God is a speaking God. He's a speaking God. And there are things that he keeps telling us and keeps, you know, guiding us. You know, like at times I look at the things that God has spoken to me, and when I look back, I see the fulfillment. At that time, it did not make sense, you know. Yeah, I was thinking there was a time when I was resigning from my job. I think it was 2015, 2016. And God was like, I will grow you beyond your wildest expectations. And I was like, what? What does that mean, you know? I will grow you beyond your wildest expectations. And one of the things that I've seen with God is that He has really given me supernatural growth. Like, I grow so fast. I mean, like, it's the speed is exceedingly great. And those are things that you hear from, those are speakings that you hear from God in times of intimacy, in times of brokenness. And for me, that time is a time of brokenness, because I was like, I'm resigning, you know, and I don't know what will come of it, you know, what will come of it. There's and God is just faithful. And those are such words that I see in what I do. I see in the ministry that I do. I see in my workplace. I see in my family. And also I see it in the people that God connects me to, that God also grows them, you know. And so there are things that God gives you that is not just for you, that is for generations, that is for you know, the blessing of others. And those are things that you receive in prayer. And you see that Habakkuk goes like, he realizes that God has spoken to him. God has given him the revelation. Yet it feels like it's delaying. And then he concludes in 17, he says, though the fig tree does not bud, you know, though there is no fruit, though he does not see the manifestation, the physical manifestation, though the olive crop that year he planted and it did not work, though there is no sheep in the pen, you know, there is no sheep, you know, there are shepherds. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. It's a choice that we have how we respond to the happenings around us. I always say it's not the water that is around the boat that makes it sink, but it is the water that we allow to enter into the boat. It is when we allow the discouragement to enter into our boats, to enter into our ship, that we sink. There might be so much discouragement, there might be so much sickness around our bodies, there might be so much failure, they might not be looking like the physical manifestation. Even the Bible tells us the men of faith, all of them, they died without receiving the promise, but they received it from afar. But strength, I will rejoice in the Lord. There is a principle of joy that generates strength. Why? When we are joyful, we give praise to God. And the Bible says, out of the mouth of babes, he has ordained praise. And that praise there is translated as strength. Out of the mouth of children, he has ordained strength. So praise is our strength. Joy is our strength. There are times that God commanded no one should be sorrowful. This is a day of joy, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And just, I mean, there's now a hallelujah challenge that is being done by Nathaniel Bassey. You can just play that and just dance and give thanks to God and praise God like a madman. And the devil will be like, no, I'm supposed to be putting this guy down. This guy is supposed to be sorrowful. But no, he learns the secret. Look at Paul and Silas when they're in prison. The Bible says at midnight they were praising God and shouting and singing with a loud voice, that the prisoners heard them. You can imagine, these are people who are tied on the right and on the left with chains. Prisoners are tied to you, but they are praising God. They are singing to God, and God sends his angel. And this is just to tell us, let us rejoice in what God is doing. And I'm just going to be linking, there are a lot of things that, as I want to conclude Jacob, so that I can look, then maybe today and tomorrow we'll be able to conclude Jacob. And then we'll start next week, we'll look at Joseph, the man Joseph, and then we'll look at also Judah, some small aspect of Judah, as we look at the fathers. And I think there's a lot to be read there between Genesis 34, where he has met his brother, they have made peace, and then he decides to go to this place called Shechem. Yeah, so he goes to Shechem. This is in Genesis 33 towards the end, and he stays in Shechem. And there, remember, Jacob had 12 sons and one daughter, who was Dinah. And when they're living in Shechem, what happens is that one of the sons, he did not settle in Shechem. He settled in Padam. Yeah, okay, it's Shechem also. Yeah, Padan Aram, where he camped within sight of the city. He bought the land there. And Shechem was also the name of the prince of the land. And he raped the daughter of Jacob. And, when she went to visit, Dinah, when she went to visit the women of the land, Shechem, who was the son of the Hivite, the ruler of the area, saw her. He took her and raped her. And then verse 3 says, his heart was drawn towards Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the girl, and he spoke tenderly to her. So first of all, he raped her. Then his heart was drawn to her. He loved her. Then he decided now to be tender to her. So you can imagine it's the reverse. If he had started with the other way around, it might have. I mean, if he had started with love, he might have been able to win over the girl. But he raped her. Then he decided to speak tenderly. And then he decided to now ask his father to go and ask in marriage for Jacob's daughter. And you see, the Bible says that when they came to Jacob, Jacob was angry, but he could not do anything. Remember, this was a broken man. He's a limping man. He has no energy anymore he cannot fight the way he would have fought. Remember, this was a man who could, water, I don't know how many camels and all those things. And he says that he just kept quiet because his sons had not come. And, those guys, they gave him a deal. Just stay with us, marry our daughters, we'll give you our sons, all that. And Jacob just kept quiet. But then when the sons come, then they came again, they talked. But then the brothers, the true brothers of Dinah, that is Reuben and Levi, were very angry. And without their father's knowledge, what they did is that they convinced those men that, okay, we'll give you our sister. And actually, they allowed the sister to go. They said, we'll give you our sister, but on one account, that all your men be circumcised, because you cannot give our daughter to uncircumcised men. And they do that. But after all the men of Shechem were circumcised, within 3 days, they went in at night and they killed all the men and they destroyed the whole city. And then they took the children, the women as slaves. And their father asked them, you have brought for me trouble, because he did not ask them to do that, Simeon and Levi. And he was like, we are few in number, if the Canaanites attack them. So they put their whole family at risk. But then they said, should he have treated our sister like a prostitute? And which, in their anger, so we see that Simeon and Levi, they reacted out of anger. Yeah, Simeon and Levi, sorry. They reacted out of anger and they did revenge for their sister. And so that is one of the things that happened. So Jacob immediately God spoke to him in 35, Genesis 35. Go up to Bethel. He was told to go back to Bethel to the God who appeared to him there and build an altar to God. And Jacob so told his households, you have to get rid of the foreign gods. Remember, Rachel had run away with the foreign gods of her father, Laban, and you remember she hid them. She said she was having her periods, and Laban did not find them and all that. But now Jacob knew that they were having other gods among them, so he told them to get rid of them, and they did so. And the Bible says in Genesis 35 verse 5, they set out, and under the terror of God fell upon the towns all around them, so that no one pursued them. So God ensured their protection when they came under the protection of him. So as they went to Bethel, God ensured that they are protected, and terror came over all the nations. And that is what at times God does. He can create a fear that will just preserve you. I can anyway, let me not give that testimony. But God can create a fear that will preserve you. And let me just move ahead quickly. Along the way, in verse 11 of Genesis 35, it says, and God met him, And verse 10, it says, your name blessed him. God appeared to him when he built the altar and said, you will no longer be called Jacob, but your name will be Israel. So it's a confirmation of what the angel had blessed him, his name. And God said, I am El Shaddai, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will come from your body. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you. And I will give you this land to your descendants after you. And God went up from him at the place where he had talked with him. And he set up a place, a stone pillar, and he poured a drink of offering there. And he poured oil on it. And Jacob called the place where God had talked with him Bethel. And Bethel means the house of God. So Jacob, you can see, God calls him to go back to Bethel. And remember, Bethel was the same place where he had the encounter of the angels ascending and descending. And he said, surely this is the house of God. And so this is God where God told him to go back. And he goes back. And God meets him. And I just want you to see that, you know, El Shaddai, God introduced himself to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as El Shaddai. And you know, there's power in the name, and El Shaddai means the all-sufficient God, all-sufficiency. You know, they could see in the provision, in the protection, in the cover, you know, in the water, in the flocks, everything that they needed was provided. And you can see his father Abraham, you know, only had one child. Then there's multiplication in Isaac, had the twins. But then now Jacob was abundantly multiplied. He had 12 sons, one daughter, 13. He had 13 children. And we are given, you know, the breakdown, you know, of how Reuben and sadly his wife that he loved dies in when she's giving birth to the last son, which is Benjamin. And in verse 7, we can read from Genesis 35 from verse 16. They moved on from Bethel. While there was still some distance from Ephrath, Rachel began to give birth. And remember, this is the second son of Rachel. And she had great difficulty. And as she was having great difficulty in childbirth, the midwife said to her, "Don't be afraid, for you have another son." As she breathed her last, for she was dying, she named her son Ben-Oni. And that means child of my sorrow, child of my suffering, son of my trouble. But his father named him Benjamin. Benjamin meaning son of my right hand. Now you see, that's the power of names and the power of a father. Because she did not want, and I think I remember in church where we had this teaching where our pastor was teaching us that it is the mother named out of emotion, the mother named out of emotion, naming the son Ben-Oni, son of my trouble, is the same guy like Jabez. Jabez was also named pain because she caused pain to the mother when giving birth. But then the father renamed the son and called him Benjamin. Ben, son of my right hand. And this is like in Arabic, Yamin, Ben Yamin. So that means son of my right hand. And I want us to just not forget what we are linking the revelation of the fathers to the son. Because remember, when you're talking about firstborn son, sonship, we are not, as believers, we are not just sons of God. We are the firstborn in Christ. We are the firstborn of God in Christ. Let me put it this way. Many believers are okay with ascribing all the blessings of Jesus to Jesus. They have no problem with that, with Jesus being the Son of God, with all power, authority, everything being given to God, to Jesus. But they find it hard to accept that God has put us in Christ. So when we are in Christ, we are the firstborn of God. We receive the blessings of God. We are being conformed into the image of Christ. Remember, Christ is the head, and we are one body. So every part of us, the head cannot be without a body, and the body cannot be without a head. So we are one, and we are supposed to grow into the head, into the understanding of the head, into the understanding of Christ, into the mind of Christ. Every bone and joint, supplying one another. That's why as a body we supply one another. God puts us in families. God puts us under leaders that as they are connected to bone to bone, joint to joint, marrow to marrow, then we all receive the same supply from the Father, from the head. So there is that family and the Benjamin. That's why he named him Benjamin, son of my right hand. So Rachel died and ended up having only two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. And that's why you remember when Jacob is told that, or he's cheated by his sons, that his son Joseph has died, and is asked to send forth Benjamin, he's like, no way, man, this is the only one. He's the only memory of Rachel. Says that if Benjamin is taken, then I will go to an early grave. But then when the hunger was too much, there was nothing he could do. He just had to send the boy. And he's just like, well, if whatever happens, happens. And another thing happens with these sons of his is that when Rachel dies, Reuben makes a mistake in that he goes in and sleeps with Bilhah. Now remember, Bilhah was Rachel's maidservant and also a wife of a concubine of Jacob. Now what Reuben was doing, he was actually trying to cut off the family of Rachel and Bilhah from Jacob, you understand? Because he knew the moment he sleeps with Bilhah, his father will now have no option but to stay with the side of his family, that is with Leah and with Zilpah. Think of it that way. You know, because of the anger and the bitterness, he felt that his mother was not loved, Leah, so he decided to spite his father. Rachel is dead now, and then now he went and slept with Bilhah, who is also of that side of Rachel. And that way, he knew that his father can no longer go. And that is why his father now cursed him. He lost his place as firstborn son. Now, Reuben was actually supposed to be the firstborn son. The Messiah was even supposed to come from Reuben. Just remember sonship. Reuben was supposed to receive everything. He was supposed to receive the double portion of the land, the inheritance of the land. He was supposed to receive the priesthood. He was supposed to receive the kingship. Now, when Reuben sinned against his father by sleeping with Bilhah, his father's wife, he lost these three portions. The double portion of the land went to Joseph. And that is why, if you link it, when Joseph is given the coat of many colors, it's not necessarily because he was loved more, but it was an indication that he was now the firstborn. I want you to picture that. And because the firstborn of the first mother failed, it now went to the firstborn of Rachel, who is Joseph. That is why the father gave him the coat of many colors. It was an indication. And that was also why, apart from many other things, that's why they hated him. And we'll learn that as we go to Joseph eventually. Secondly, he lost the priesthood. The priesthood went to Levi. And that is why the Levites became priests. And thirdly, he lost the kingship. The kingship went to Judah. And that is why David is a king, is from Judah. And Jesus is also from Judah. So you can see the three things that he lost. He lost the land, a double portion. Joseph eventually owned all the land, the inheritance, and in Egypt, everything. He lost the priesthood. The priesthood went to Levi. He lost the kingship. It went to Judah. And this is the blessing of the firstborn. And remember, we are the firstborn in Christ. I'm trying to just help us link to Christ. Christ is the firstborn, and we are in Christ. So never forget that God has called us to these three firstborn privileges. These sonship rights are given to us. We are given the double in portion of the land. We are given the priesthood. We are given the kingship. All of these are in Christ, and we receive those in Christ. That's why we are a kingdom of kings and priests, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that we may declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And eventually, Jacob died when he is 180 years old. And later on, we'll see how he blesses his sons, and we'll also see how Reuben is told his boiling water because of his anger. He will not prosper. We'll look at that eventually, as we also maybe we'll see how we can link it up with Joseph and Judah, and that is why the story of Joseph is brought in, the story of Judah is brought in, and later on Levites they come in as the priests. But that is just to tell us how what happens when we lose our place of ordination is that God is never limited in calling men. If we don't partake of what God has asked us to do, if you don't record that song that God has asked you to record, you will soon hear it in the radio. And you'll be like, this is my song. But God, the assignments are always available. Whoever is willing will take it. We'll take it. And that's why we must be always sensitive to obey God, to do what God expects of us. And God is not limited to us. If we don't do what He will ask us to do, He can raise stones to do it. If you don't pay someone's fees that God has asked you to pay, God will still pay those fees through someone else. But that person will get that blessing that was meant for you. So let us always be sensitive to obey what God expects of us. And the lesson that we see from Reuben is that he loses because of his anger, because of his boilingness and his instability, his zeal, he loses the blessing of the firstborn. And that is, those are some of the lessons that we're learning. Let's not forget we're the firstborn in Christ. Yeah, I think I'll stop there for today. Right hand man, you mean your name today is in progress.
I was feeling like that I'll be the firstborn children of God.
Amen.
Definitely I'll be. So for me today, learning is that it's about continuity, believing on God, keep faith on God, and you know that God has unlimited things, unlimited resources, all those things that for us, even the king have some barrier, but for God it's nothing, everything is possible. So it's keeping faith, it's believing, and we will get everything. It's a matter of time.
Amen.
And so that's the thing. And yeah, that's it.
Amen. Yeah, indeed. It's just a matter of time. God will come through and write the revelation down. It shall come to pass. And you will be surprised at what God can do. Let's give thanks to God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessing of sharing together your word, for the encouragement that you give us in the scriptures. That, Lord, you've made us the firstborn in Christ, and you made Christ your firstborn, and we are in Christ, and every blessing that is of Christ is ours. And we receive that, we accept that, and we thank you for the blessing of the firstborn that we see, the rulership, the priesthood, and the land, and the double portion. And we're grateful for that we inherit and we receive all that in Christ. And as your sons, we are loved of you, and we are guided of you, and we are protected of you. And though indeed we go through various struggles, be it sickness, be it challenges, be it unbelief, oh God, I thank you that, Lord, you are our healer, and you touch us, and we rebuke every sickness from our midst. We come against it in the name of Jesus, and we pray that, Lord, you shall send forth your healing in our bodies, and indeed we are healed in the name of Jesus Christ. We are healed by your stripes, oh God, and we receive your healing in Jesus' name. And we thank you for our healing, and we thank you for the healing of my brother, that, Lord, you touch him, and myself too, that you touch me. And even we commit this day before you, we commit your presence in our service today and in our fellowship, the Lord, even as we shall worship together, that, Lord, your grace and presence shall be mighty in our midst, that we shall hear from you and we shall be taught by you. We commit every aspect to you and all those the various churches and congregations that shall pray together for the AG Church and various fellowships in various places. We commit them to you, and we pray that, Lord, you shall minister your word unto us in a special way, O God. We thank you, and even we commit our days ahead and the rest, the Sabbath, the rest and weekend that we shall have, that, Lord, you shall renew our strength, that we shall be able to accomplish other things that concern us. Thank you for our families, our children. Watch over them, cover them with the blood of Jesus. And we commit every aspiration, everything that we've asked of you, that, Lord, it shall come to pass according to your divine purpose in glory. We honor you and we adore you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed day. Yeah. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.